On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs Nation? Welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Bucs Podcast. I'm your host, David Harrison. James Jarko is off for this episode. Find James over on Twitter at @JRK_Bucs. Find me at DHarrison82. Find everything we are writing about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers over at BucsNation.com, on Twitter at @Bucs_Nation, a part of SB Nation. Welcome to all of our new and returning listeners. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and review the show. We will read some of those five-star reviews on the air as we go through the rest of the offseason. On today's episode, we're going to hear from Buccaneers General Manager Jason Light as he spoke with the media on Thursday, talking NFL draft and more. But first, we're going to start with a clip of Jason Light being asked by Greg Aumann of The Athletic about the potential of more moves coming this offseason.
Jason, you got there's still obviously a bunch of guys that could resign. Would you say you're about done, or there's still more work to be done in terms of other guys you could bring back?
It's still a fluid situation. We still have, things change every day. We're still, seeing what we can do on a couple of different fronts. But I don't think it's ever done. I think you're always trying to upgrade your roster or bring in guys for competition. It may not be the high dollar guys, maybe minimum wage. It may be, guys just giving them opportunity, young guys. So I don't think you're ever changing. But I think those types of moves get underrated a little bit, like the Aaron Stinneys and guys like that come in and play a big factor for your team, that during the season when you claim them off waivers or sign them from the practice squad, that like we have over the last few years, that doesn't make a lot of news at the time, but then they become important members of your team. So it doesn't have to be a big dollar guy or a high money guy. You can be, and we'll continue to do that throughout the rest of the offseason.
All right, so again, that's Buccaneers General Manager Jason Light answering the question posed to him by The Athletic's Greg Aumann about the potential for more moves coming this offseason by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they retool, reload for a 2021 campaign, trying to repeat as Super Bowl champions. And, look, Greg didn't say it outright, and Jason gave his, a very good general manager answer as far as, never say never and all that stuff, and he didn't mention him by name either. But we all know the first name that came to mind when that question was asked, and we all know the first name that came to mind when Jason Light started answering the question, and that is wide receiver Antonio Brown. And we've been talking about Antonio Brown more this week than I can honestly say I expected to be when we started the week, talking about how there are reports out there the Buccaneers have made not one but multiple contracts, I'm sure, that come in various, degrees of guaranteed money and incentives and all that stuff. And on Thursday, during NFL Network's Good Morning Football, Mike Garafolo, sitting at the breakfast table, said that there is a desire to bring Antonio Brown back to the Buccaneers, but that the money isn't there. Quote, they want to bring him back, the Bucs do, just at a different number than he has in his mind right now. End quote. James Jarko, who regular listeners of the show are very familiar with, writing that report up for BucsNation.com, quoting Garafolo on this. And listen, like I said, we've been talking about this all week. We've written about it. We've talked about it. You guys know my stance, and some of you have responded to me directly on Twitter. I've seen some of you talking about this on social media yourselves, independent of anything that I've written or said. And I think the biggest question is, what is that Antonio Brown is looking for? What is it that he thinks he's owed by, any NFL team and all that stuff? And how realistic is it that he's going to become a part of the Buccaneers' plans for the upcoming season? And, for a guy who had to have the team's quarterback, supposedly, and, we don't have any hard evidence on, what was said or what wasn't said, but the assumption, of course, league-wide is that Tom Brady probably went in and rallied for him and went to the coaches, probably went to Jason Light and really kind of put his name on the line to say, hey, this is a guy that we need to bring in. He doesn't seem to be too willing to bend and flex a little bit for the team that gave him a chance when, presumably there were a lot of teams that probably weren't going to give him that chance that he got with the Buccaneers. You can pretty much bet there were at least three teams, the Steelers, the Raiders, and the Patriots, that weren't going to be doing it. So less than 30 teams in the NFL that Antonio Brown had the possibility of even joining, and even some of those teams, you and I both know, we're not going to go down that road with him. And you know, and there was somebody I saw in the Bucs Nation comments on an article that I wrote earlier in the week who said that Antonio Brown doesn't owe anything to the Buccaneers. And let me make something very clear. I'm not saying, and I don't think James would say, that Antonio Brown is indebted to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like owes them to take a vet minimum deal or, you know what I mean, something like that. Antonio Brown absolutely owes nothing to anybody as far as, you know, NFL teams are concerned and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's absolutely, you know, that's absolutely correct. However, he's also not owed anything by them. And I think that's where he's got to get this, you know, understanding and straightened out a little bit. My gut says this is a little bit of a situation where a guy who played pretty well during the playoff run, played pretty well in the back half of the season, had a touchdown catch in the Super Bowl, maybe a little bit of that old personality kind of showing up a little bit, and AB thinking a little higher of himself than maybe a lot of other people do. Because not for nothing, guys, but this isn't, you know, just a situation with the Buccaneers. If he was getting the money he wanted from someone else, he probably would have already been signed by now. So, again, the way that this is kind of transpiring, I don't think Antonio Brown is getting the offers from around the league that maybe he thought he would, should, and obviously he doesn't think he's getting the money offered to him that he thinks he could, because he's still waiting and holding out, not from an official standpoint, but just by not signing, holding out for more money to see if maybe he can get more from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or from any other team out there. So we'll continue to watch. We'll continue to wait and see what AB is going to do in relation to the 2021 NFL season. If there were prop bets, they would probably be all over the place. And if you wanted to go bet on those, I would ask you to go to betonline.ag to do so, because betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. There may not be AB prop bets up just right now. There might be some developing in the coming days, so keep an eye out. But even if there aren't AB props up on betonline.ag right now, you have NBA action, college basketball, hockey, baseball is getting started, opening day happening as I'm recording this episode. Betonline.ag even has you covered for awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They've got you covered for all the new scores and odds you need. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. And when you make your first deposit, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus to that first deposit. You bet $200, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you get another $100 to bet with. You have $300 of money to play with. Go to betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. We're going to get into some NFL draft talk with Buccaneers general manager Jason Light. Again, going back to his Thursday press conference session with the media, he was asked a couple of questions about the NFL draft, and we're going to start with one about strategy at pick number 32.
Hey, Jason, I guess the good news about picking 32nd is you won the Super Bowl, right? But it is at the bottom of the first round. So what kind of a spot is that? I mean, traditionally, you looked at it, is it a heavy trade spot, or does the fifth-year option with a first-round pick outweigh that?
You know, we're not going into this saying we've got to trade out of that pick or that we're going to stick with the pick no matter what. That will present itself as the draft goes and we get closer to our pick. I think there's been several times, I think every year in the draft, when we've been picking high lately, but that when it gets down to the 32nd pick, I'm like, oh man, I wish we had a pick right here because I really like this guy here that we're going to take. So, you know, picks 1 through 32, they all have a 50% chance of being a player. So I think, the chances of a guy being good, being a very good player, are just as good at 32 as they are at 1.
All right, that was Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times asking Buccaneers general manager Jason Light about strategy at pick 32, about trading back. And obviously there's also the option of potentially trading up or just staying at 32 and making your pick. And Jason Light talking about the fact that there's always talent at the end of that first round. And really, you kind of go back to the O.J. Howard trade or selection. And I know that wasn't at the end of the first round, but I mean, a guy that a lot of people had a top five grade on, and because of need or other evaluations or what have you, O.J. Howard slipping all the way down to the Buccaneers during the mid to late part of the first round there. And, you know, outside of the injuries, and unfortunately there have been some injury issues as of late in O.J. Howard's career, but outside those injuries, he's looked every bit of worth that first round selection. And there are plenty of players that are going to be in this NFL draft that the Buccaneers could absolutely see first round value in. I mean, just looking at the running back group, that's been a very popular spot for the Buccaneers in mock drafts and conversations, even though Leonard Fournette is coming back, even though Ronald Jones is still there, even though Keyshawn Vaughn showed a little bit of talent, sometimes showed a little bit of rookie struggles at other times. You never know what that year two leap is going to be. But players like Najee Harris out of Alabama are very enticing. Travis Etienne out of Clemson, Javonte Williams out of North Carolina, which if you guys listen to the show, you already know is one of my favorite possible prospects for this Buccaneers team. At pick 32, Kenneth Gainwell, the running back out of Memphis, is a player that we've done. Our own Bailey Adams over at BucksNation.com has done a rookie profile on him. We'll be talking a little bit more about Michael Carter moving into the draft season. Demetric Felton is a guy that we already know has talked to the Buccaneers at least a couple of times that they view as a quote-unquote joystick type of player. Trey Sermon out of Ohio State is a guy. Chuba Hubbard is a guy that has a little bit of name recognition to him. I mean, the list goes on and on. Kylan Hill, a standout at the Senior Bowl. Larry Roundtree had a pretty strong Senior Bowl as well out of Missouri. There is a lot of talent just at the running back group. But then you look at the wide receiver group, and going back to our segment one, right? If Antonio Brown continues down this path of not wanting to accept the deal that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have on the table, or one of the supposedly several deals that the Buccaneers have put on the table, there is a guy who's getting some first-round talk, but he's also getting some talk that he might slip into the second round, not because of a lack of talent, but because of the sheer number of wide receivers that might go in the first round. You've got Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU. You've got Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle out of Alabama. You also look at Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota is getting some round one talk. Terrace Marshall Jr. is getting some round one talk out of LSU. And then at the, you know, part in that mix, in the group of guys that is getting some day one talk, but also might get some day two talk, is Florida wide receiver Kadarius Toney. And if you're getting day two talk, that means you might be there available at pick number 32 overall. And Kadarius Toney is a guy that can come in, and I would argue could possibly be just as effective as Antonio Brown is from day one. Now, I know that's a pretty tall task for a rookie to fill, and I got that, but when you're playing with Mike Evans, you're playing with Chris Godwin, when the defenses have to make a choice over who they're going to leave in one-on-one coverage, who they're going to leave in space a little bit from time to time, they're going to pick the rookie. They're not going to pick the two All-Stars, the two Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber wide receivers. So that alone would give Kadarius Toney a little bit better of a landing spot than a lot of rookie wide receivers would get in this situation. So that's one reason, you know, to kind of elevate what I think Kadarius Toney could produce in this offense if the Buccaneers were to take him at pick number 32. But then you also have offensive linemen that they could look to. I mean, Ryan Jensen's on the last year of his contract, owed $10 million this year. They did not extend him as of this point. I mean, you never know. You never say never again. They could always choose to extend him, do some of those void years the way they have done some of these other contracts. But as of right now, Ryan Jensen coming into his final season of his contract. When you get onto the defensive side of the ball, Cam Sample is a guy that I did a profile on. Not a first-round pick, not somebody they're going to use a 32nd overall pick on, but a guy they could bring in to potentially mold into a replacement for Ndamukong Suh either next year if he decides to retire and not come back, or hopefully the year after. I think Cam Sample in the second year, with the Buccaneers, would be more suitable as a replacement there for Mr. Ndamukong Suh. But then you go to the edge and you see guys like Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia as a potential guy that could be added to that 3-4 outside linebacker group, that group with Shaquille Barrett and with Jason Pierre-Paul. I know Quincy Roche is someone that I've heard James talk about quite often as well. If the Buccaneers are looking for a guy, and this is something that Jason was also asked about during the press conferences, if he's looking for a guy that could potentially come in as a starter in the first round, I think you're looking at strong safety. And I love Jordan Whitehead to death. I've been a big advocate of Jordan Whitehead and getting more credit. And, you know, he got a little bit more credit towards the end of the year there. But if you look across this team, where is there a spot potentially for there to be a new starter in 2021? If there's one, I think it's got to be strong safety. And Trevon Moehrig out of TCU is someone that I have been extremely interested in looking at. He's gotten a little bit of back-end day one talk. He's really a lot of day two talk. But that's a guy the Buccaneers could decide to send that 32nd pick on, bring him into camp, let him challenge Jordan Whitehead. And if, you know, let the best man win, whoever it is going to be a solid starter. And then you have a developmental guy. So maybe when Jordan Whitehead's time to renegotiate contract comes up, it's unfortunate. Eventually you're going to lose some of these guys. Maybe he's the guy they let walk away. They save a little bit of that money, not having to spend it on a new contract. And that's how they start to kind of balance the books after some of these void years. So just a lot of interesting options at 32. And I think that's what has Bruce Arians and Jason Light so excited for this year's draft. Speaking of the NFL draft, though, preparation is already underway, continuing to get underway. Jason Light was asked about preparing for the NFL draft through digital means more this year than even last year. Here's what he had to say.
You've gotten used to the virtual draft process halfway through last year, but you were able to go to the Senior Bowl and the Combine last year to meet some of these players face-to-face before the pandemic shut everything down. Now with just the pro days, and with you guys playing football into February, has that limited you getting to know and getting a feel for some of these prospects just through Zoom?
It's certainly different. Last year we were at the Combine and pro days kind of got shut down quickly. We talked to, you know, several guys at the Combine. That's the only difference between this year and last year. Now we're doing them on Zoom every day here. Mike and John and the guys are getting them all set up. So I actually, it's become kind of the new norm of doing the Zooms. So I feel like we all feel like we're getting a pretty good feel for these guys on the Zooms. It's just a little different. It's what we have to live with.
Jason, in terms of the draft eligible kids who opted out last year, does that complicate matters in terms of your assessment of those guys?
I don't know about complicate. It just makes it a little bit more challenging. You're watching tape from 2019. A lot can change with a player between 2019 and now, especially if they haven't been playing and they've just been training. But just makes it a little bit more challenging. But once again, that's what we're dealing with. That's what every team's dealing with this year.
All right, so that first question coming from Scott Reynolds of Peter Report, and then the second one is Joey Knight of the Tampa Bay Times, asking Jason Light about some of the uniqueness about getting ready for the NFL draft this season. And you can tell it's a little bit of a mixed bag of reactions and not quite knowing what to expect as the NFL draft comes in. I think we're going to have more than usual. We're going to have some picks that leave some, you know, media members and outside experts scratching their head a little bit as it's harder to get a beat on what's going on. But I'll tell you what's not hard to get a beat on. That's how amazing Built Bars are, the best tasting protein bar on the market, and they have been for a while now. These bars are amazing. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Best tasting protein bars on the market, and they're 100% covered in all chocolate. Now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best. The culmination of Built Bar Madness is happening right now. The championship matchup, cookie dough chunk versus coconut brownie chunk. Go to BuiltBar.com or to bar_built on Twitter. And while you're at BuiltBar.com, make sure you use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Make sure you check back to see who won the entire tournament, the championship, and became the best Built Bar of them all. Are you ready for the NFL Draft? Join Locked On NFL Draft host Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings and analysis on 2021 draft prospects with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So we've got one more clip of Jason Light's time speaking to the media on Thursday coming before we get out of today's episode. But before we do that, we wanted to talk about Jason Light, and we've got a voicemail or voice memo emailed to us by a good friend of the show to do just that.
Hey guys, this is Yusuf. So as you guys know, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. So I do listen to the Locked On Cardinals because I do support my hometown team. Now, I'm a diehard Bucks fan for life, always will be. They trump any other team in this league, including the Cardinals. So anyways, Bo Brock and Alex Clancy of the Locked On Cardinals have been discussing over the last month or so about Steve Keim, if he's a top 10, top 5, or top 3 GM in this league. And so it got me thinking about our Bucks. Is Jason Light a top 10, top 5, or top 3 GM in this league? I could easily make the argument, I think he's a top 5 GM easily, in my opinion. He has done a terrific job as our GM. I mean, just to name a few guys, Mike Evans, Devin White, Tristan Wirfs, Ali Marpet, Donovan Smith. I mean, the list goes on. Of course, he has a few blunders with, you know, Roberto Aguayo and Matt Gay and some other guys that didn't work out in the draft, but he's done a terrific job. In free agency, he's done a really good job as well. Honestly, I'm sure you can make the argument that he's a top 3 GM as well. But again, this is overall body of work as well, so I'm not just talking about the last few years either. So anyways, guys, like to know what your guys' thoughts are on this topic and thought I'd bring it over. That was an interesting topic. Anyways, guys, go Bucks.
Yousef, appreciate the email, the voice memo, and it is a very interesting topic and a very good question. And I'll tell you that Bo and Alex do a very good job over there at Locked On Cardinals for the podcast network. Those are two good guys in our network. They're very funny in the private DMs as well. I'm sure that personality comes across their show. I know whenever I've done Locked On NFL with Bo, or that we do the crossovers from time to time, it's or had the opportunities to do some crossover conversations from time to time, it's been a lot of fun. That being said, they're the experts on the Arizona Cardinals, so if they say that Keim is or is not a top 10 GM in the NFL, I will let them have that mantle, because I don't watch them enough. I don't pay attention to the Cardinals close enough to have an opinion. I mean, I do have an opinion, but I wouldn't take my opinion over theirs. So I'm just going to leave that alone. I will say, hiring a coach and drafting a quarterback in the first round just to jettison both of them a year later has an impact on my opinion of any general manager in the National Football League. But when it comes to Jason Light, I think that the easy answer, right, and the quick answer is going to be that, yes, Jason Light is a top 10 general manager in the National Football League. You make the argument top five, maybe even top three. Why? Because he just put together a team that won a Super Bowl. Not only did he put together a team that won the Super Bowl, but he brought in the entire coaching staff. That was a hire that was made because of Jason Light. Not only did Jason Light go out and recruit BA and bring him in and get the help, get the staff together and everything else, but BA flat out said he wouldn't be in Tampa if it wasn't for Jason Light. Without Jason Light, there is no BA as the head coach of this team. Without BA and Jason Light, there is no Tom Brady coming to Tampa. So, you know, put all the pieces together, and Jason Light at the end of the day is definitely a big part of it, if not the main catalyst for what turned out to be a Super Bowl winning team in 2020. Now, beyond that, now I will say, you know, obviously every GM has their mistakes. You know, there's not a single general manager out who's done this for longer than one NFL draft. If you made it through an entire NFL draft, you have made a mistake as a general manager. I pretty much guarantee that situation has happened. So, you know, simply having a mistake on your books, especially, you know, even one like Roberto Aguayo, which I think is funny because during the press conference, again, if you get a chance to go over to Buccaneers.com and listen to the whole thing, he actually cracked a joke himself about not drafting a kicker and even referenced, you know, something that he's learned throughout his process of doing this job is making sure you're not elevating a person up your board or making moves to go get a guy up your board just because you think you have a need that needs to be filled. And I mean, as soon as he started saying it, I thought Roberto Aguayo. As soon as he started having that conversation, I thought Roberto Aguayo. And then at the end of that statement, he makes a joke about not drafting a kicker. That's pretty much the only statement he made definitively, is that he was not going to be drafting a kicker in this year's NFL draft. So everybody can hold him to that if he changes his mind. But that being said, when I look at Jason Light's time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you go back to the very beginning of it, I always kind of tell people, you have to remember how little control he had in the very beginning of this thing, how much the head coach was given, especially Lovie Smith, was given, you know, total control over the roster, and he had the final say on who came, who went, and so on and so forth. So I always kind of go back to that. And what I look at is, at this team, the more Jason Light has had influence, the more Jason Light has had control over building this team, building this roster, and then ultimately building out the coaching staff, the better the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have gotten. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that Jason Light is the end-all, be-all, you know, grand guru of the National Football League, but I will say that he's done a pretty stinking good job when he's been given the opportunity to do his job. And I know that when Bruce Arians came in, a lot of people said this was Jason Light's last chance, and that if Bruce Arians didn't get the job done, Jason Light and Bruce were going to be let go basically together, or Bruce, when he retired, Jason Light was going to walk away or was going to be asked to walk away or sent packing with Bruce Arians. I think if I'm the Glazers and I'm looking at Jason Light and I'm looking at the situation, I see a man who knows how to put together a staff that knows how to, one, scout and evaluate and assess talent, two, select that talent in the right spots, three, retain that talent, manage the budget, manage the salary cap, and four, he knows when to go big and he knows when to kind of pull it back a little bit. And these are lessons he's learned over time. And I think that that's true with anybody that's doing any profession. But I think what's important is you can see the progression, the maturation, and the development of Jason Light as a front office worker. He's not a guy that from year one to year five, six, seven, even when he gets to year 10 someday, you're not going to see the same guy. That's extremely important, because I kind of subscribe to the theory that once you know everything in the job you're doing, it's time for you to find a new job. And Jason Light right now is from his track record, from the way that he performs, from the selections he's making, from the contract he's putting together, it shows me that he is a guy who's continuing to learn, he's continuing to lean on the good parts of his staff, And that's incredibly important when you're talking about leading a franchise right now and even possibly beyond the days of Bruce Arians. So that is my answer to that question. And speaking of Jason Light, we're going to go back to that media session on Thursday because it wasn't all GM talk or bad news. There was a very good part of that. And I think Bucks fans probably are already aware of it, of course, by this time. But in case you're not, you're going to be very happy with what you see as we let Jason Light finish today's episode.
I know you haven't until May to make this decision, but given how much Vita Vea means to your defense, is it safe to suggest you'll be picking up his fifth-year option this year?
Yeah, it's safe to say that.
And can you just maybe put into words what him coming back for that last two very important games meant to your defense, just in terms of the sack production? He didn't get a sack, but certainly helped your team get some in those last two games.
Yeah, he plays a very pivotal role in our defense. When he's in there, a lot of things happen for not just him, but everybody else around him. So the day that we found out that he was going to come back and play, it was a very big day for all of us. Very exciting day. Coaches, scouts, players, owners, everybody. We were all very excited.
All right. And that question coming from Scott Reynolds again of Pewter Report, and that answer from Jason Light that Vita Vea, yes, they will be picking up his fifth year option. Surprises nobody, but still exciting to hear. And that is how we're going to end this week here at the Locked On Bucks podcast. Thank you so much for all of you who have been joining us this week and who have been joining us in the past, and all of the new listeners. Thank you for joining us now. Hopefully you stick around to start off next week. I will not be here. James will be going solo at least Monday and Tuesday as I celebrate my wedding anniversary with my wife, and we will see how the weekend goes, and we'll see how things go. I should be back at least for a portion of the week, but for the beginning of the week at least, it's just going to be James, so you guys take it easy on him a little bit. Plenty of answers have come in for our question of the week. In case you've missed that question is, given the return of all 22 NFL starters for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the 2021 NFL season, which position do you see in the upcoming NFL draft as the position the Buccaneers should be focusing on at pick number 32? And the best part of it, guys, if you call in and answer that, you get your voicemail on the air, you get to be a part of the show, and you are entered in a random drawing to win a copy of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Blu-ray Super Bowl DVD. We'll be sending that out to one of you. That winner will be picked Sunday night when James records our Monday episode where we answer that question of the week and play your answers as well. So you have till Sunday at about noon to get those answers in if you want to be part of that drawing. To do so, all you have to do is call 813-444-5841 or do like Youssef, record a voicemail or email to us at lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. I hope all of you out there have a happy and safe weekend. Please, if you're out and about, please be safe, be kind to one another, wash your hands, and thank you so much for joining me right here at Locked On Bucks.